I'm Jenny.
I'm Zolivir.
And I'm Jim. And this is Topic Lords, the only place on the internet you can hear topics discussed. Jenny, would you like to introduce yourself or do you have anything to plug?
Hey, as far as plugging things, Riff and I are still doing our Let's Plays of the Rusty Lake series. We're on, they've just released a new one called Underground Blossom, and we have just started that.
Do you recommend Rusty Lake?
I do, actually. You need to be content warned that they are bonkers before heading in. But yeah.
I will co-sign that recommendation and say that Rusty Lake changed the way I think about horror and plot and what is possible in an interactive medium. Every little game is an intriguing, terrifying morsel into what the human form can morph into. And it's one of the few franchises I can say, oh yeah, I pretty much played every single one and will play every one at launch because there's nothing like Rusty Lake.
And when you say morsel, these are short games.
Some are shorter than others.
Okay. All right.
Most are 3 hours or below. Yeah. And okay. They have price tags to match.
Cool.
And I think all of the Cube Escapes are free if you just want an intro.
Sounds good. Sounds like a good place to start.
I think that is not a lie. That might be a lie.
But, okay. I mean, it's okay. It's okay to lie on this show.
Is it really?
If you lie, it's technically an ARG. People have to find the truth. Yeah.
Okay. It's okay to be wrong on this show.
That's good.
Way to pull it back.
Zolivir, would you like to introduce yourself or do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, I'm Zolivir. I head up Strange Scaffold and work with a bunch of people on a bunch of things. I've worked on over 90 games in the past 8 years. And right now I am plugging Life Eater, a horror fantasy kidnapping sim. It comes out in basically exactly a month at the time of this recording, April 16th. And you can wishlist on Steam now. Please wishlist it. We need to show people that the horror fantasy kidnapping sim genre deserves to be resurrected. I know that it was really saturated for a while right next to World War II shooters. But if we all believe there is a fresh take possible in the horror fantasy kidnapping sim space, I believe it. We can make this happen together.
I can't tell if this is a bit or if I miss the horror fantasy kidnapping genre being huge.
As Jim said, it's okay to lie on this show. So either one is true.
There was Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess every Mario game is a horror fantasy kidnapping sim.
Well, only in Mario Odyssey are you the kidnapper.
The Hitman games, depending on your or just stealth games in general that involve in Dishonored, whenever you pick up a person and dump them into a pile, technically you are kidnapping them for a short period of time.
Yeah, this looks great. I'm looking at a trailer. Do you have a spreadsheet of games that you've worked on that you can just look at the row number when you say 90, or did you count them at some point? And did they all ship?
Not all of the games I've worked on have shipped. A lot of them are under NDA, but at this point I've worked on indie to AAA stuff all across the map. I think over 50% of them have shipped, which for over 90 games is pretty good.
That's a good rate.
But that's part of the reason why I've made it kind of my life's purpose to be like, no, we need to ship games. Our job here is to ship games, and the idea of pursuing promising, ambitious visions that may or may not come to fruition rather than a really cool, interesting thing that we can bring to life and put into the world for better and for worse. I'm a shipper through and through because I'm going to die one day. The only things that people will see of the work I've produced is the things that I've shipped. I'm here to ship games.
I'm impressed that you're in a position to make that decision as opposed to whatever's going to pay.
I'm fortunate to be in the position now where people come to me specifically for that. So one of the really cool AAA things I'm working on right now, it's a team of incredibly veteran people. And the fact that they came to me and said, we're coming to you not just to work on this game, but to make sure that it ships. I was like, hot.
Yeah.
Diggity dog. I'm becoming known for the exact thing that I've made my life's passion.
That's so awesome.
That's what I do. I work on games. Sometimes I'm designing, sometimes I'm writing, sometimes I'm producing. But a lot of times, everything I'm doing is through the prism of how do we get this game to ship without destroying people in the process?
Yeah. Are we ready for some topics?
Sure.
I'd love to discuss a topic.
Jenny, your topic is how do centaur internal organs work?
So you know that there's like all of the horse except for the head and neck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of unclear where exactly the human part ends in the torso. And even if you assume that it ends somewhere around the navel, that's still like double lungs, double heart. What's like the esophagus situation? You know,
can I put forward a radical theory?
Sure.
I think the vast majority of horse organs are cosmetic. Centaur organs are cosmetic.
Okay.
I think everything inside of a centaur, if you were to like just, I'm trying not to use the word peel. If you were to open up a centaur.
If you were to flens a centaur.
If you were to introduce yourself to the insides of a centaur, you would find there to be nothing inside. It would just be squishy. And all of the important organs for the centaur, I think, is its skin. It has so much skin surface area that all of it is doing double duty.
What about a single multifunctional cube?
Yes.
Intel inside.
Oh man, when a centaur is born, it's like that Xbox intro sequence for the original Xbox where it's like womp, womp, womp. That's the multifunctional organ, and then it makes the X symbol, and then the centaur is standing there fully formed.
Incredible. And if you ever come across a centaur and their eyes are glowing red, forget about it. You got to replace your centaur.
I hear you can wrap it in the towel.
I heard you could put it in a bag of rice, but that doesn't work.
A defective centaur is one of, like, that's a two word horror story right there.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, the rest of this podcast is just going to be us thinking about our defective centaur horror video game.
We got to make thinking noises though, because if we don't, if we don't sound like anything, the editing process just condenses all the audio down to 3/4 of a second.
Oh.
Then let me say for the audio, I think that a defective centaur would speak a language that does not exist. And every time it finishes a sentence, you hear a loud boom in the distance as of thunder, as well as a church bell ring.
Okay. I think a defective centaur would look bad in hats.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Where do you put the hat on a defective centaur?
On the ass.
Would a defective centaur would wear a hat like this or like
would
this?
Wear a hat like this?
On centaurs, defective or otherwise, what's the hoof situation? How does the centaur feel about that?
Do they need horseshoes?
Oh, yeah.
Can they put on their own horseshoes?
Are there Air Jordans for centaurs?
If there aren't, there should be.
They would be her Jordans. That was bad. I'm sorry.
So you're positing that it has the human body but the horse head to make that noise.
I was just going to say he's a full human as far as we know, and he just made that noise. Therefore, a centaur could make it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to toot my own horn too much, but I think my centaur was pretty decent, and that just came out of as far as you know, a full human throat. Although, oh gosh, this is why standing desks have been taking off.
Yes.
Because centaurs can now join the workforce undetected.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, you all are always standing at your standing desk. You must be so fit. And you hear just clop, clop. Yeah, I really like to get my steps in.
So I just searched for a centaur wearing a horse mask.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry to say this is not an original joke. There are results.
Before recording officially began, you said that you don't want to go dark places on purpose.
Yeah.
And I think you've said that in like my last three Topic Lords episodes. So one, I feel called out. Two, for someone who doesn't want to go dark places on purpose, you immediately talked about flensing the centaur.
Yeah. I'm the problem. It's me.
You kind of are the problem.
But this is why I don't want to do it on purpose, because I do it so much accidentally.
That's a good point.
Don't mind me. I just have to continue to crank up my standing sitting desk.
Oh, is that what's happening? I thought you were like holding your Fitbit to try to get your steps in without actually moving.
Nope.
The most disturbing experience I ever had with a Nintendo Wii, and the first time where I realized that those of privilege will always look for ways to escape even the delightful pieces of the human experience is I played the Wii with a rich girl when I was in when I was a preteen, and she clearly had been playing a lot of Wii, so it was Wii golf. I'm standing up. I get into proper golf format. I swing. She remained seated the entire time, and I was wondering. I looked at her for a second, be like, "Are you going to stand up?" And all she did was hold out her Wiimote and flick her wrist.
Wow!
It was a perfect shot. And I was simultaneously appreciating and celebrating her perfect shot while also being like, the point is to pretend. Why would you try to get out of the joy of pretending? I was like 8, 9, 10 years old, but it still kind of blew my mind that someone would.
This is a valuable life lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Optimize this.
Similar thing. Rich girl.
This is consummate gamer is what you saw there. Like a consummate competitor.
And she was capitalism-pilled. She was a small capitalism-pilled rich girl. And I think in those moments I realized we have to eat the rich for their good and our own. And also, yeah, people will take magic and delight. I didn't own a Wii. She owned a Wii. And she owned this magical thing that was still hard to get a hold of. But all she could see was how to optimize it into getting a shot and doing that with as little effort as possible.
I had a really similar thing when I was about 8 or 9 with the rich girl who owned an NES and a power pad. And it turned out for the long jump, instead of actually jumping, we figured out just to get off the power pad and then get back on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it the same rich girl? Did you meet my rich girl?
I don't, it would be weird because I think I'm maybe a decade or something older than you. So you would have been hanging out with like an 18 or 19 year old rich girl who was optimizing her Wii.
I see people here that refuse to follow the rules. These are iconoclasts that are sticking it to the man.
We live in a society, Jim.
Will you defy society and sit down when you're supposed to be golfing?
I would learn to golf sitting.
Sitting golf actually sounds incredible.
Yeah, but again, you would have to get into it. It couldn't be I cannot remember another time that I've seen a human being look so bored. The ennui of achievement and wealth having settled on her tiny face was striking to me to the point that I can picture it exactly decades later.
So she was playing ennui golf. I'm not sorry, I meant that.
I believe that's going to be the show title.
On Wii Golf. You just swing the golf club at the ball and it goes into the air and it just keeps going and you just have to sit there in the pose of having just swung the ball and you can't.
Oh man.
Move your arms down until it lands and you just have a long time to think about what you've done.
Wow.
The sun rises, the sun sets. You're still there.
Do you have a little buddy to talk about philosophy with? Is this Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead?
Maybe. What's your internal monologue situation?
Yeah.
That's my little buddy.
So there's two angles we could go with it. We could go the My Dinner with Andre direction, okay. Also of the conversation.
Yeah, referring, of course, to Andre the Giant.
Of course. Uh-huh. And there's also the option of Mice and Men, where after about 15 minutes, half an hour or so, this is a motion-controlled game. You do have to remain in the pose. Someone walks up and puts a gun to the back of your head and says, "It's okay, little buddy. You don't have to stay here anymore." And does what they have to do.
And that's all the time we have for Topic Lords.
So that's Centaur internal organs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, are we ready for another topic?
Can't wait.
Zalavir, your topic is, what is the most unlikely horror franchise to adapt to games?
Yes. Everyone is adapting horror films to games right now. We're getting the Texas Chainsaw Massacre asymmetric multiplayer game, the Killer Clowns from Outer Space asymmetric multiplayer game. I want to dig deep and say, you know what's both cheaper to license as well as a potent space untapped is we've got books, we've got songs, we've got fortune cookie predictions.
Yeah, Monster Mash. Adapt the Monster Mash to games. There totally was a game called Monster Bash.
Oh. Yeah, but again, they were cowards because they could have done a power pad enabled NES game where you have to run as fast as possible. It's the Monster Mash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, what if you had the ability to adapt something that wasn't a film to a game, something in the horror genre, even if it's just a horrifying concoction that you've received at Applebee's, what does that look like for y'all?
The Ghostbusters theme song would be a good one.
Oh, no, yeah. It's too close to the movie. That's still film franchise territory. You can't. This isn't the space for loopholes. Listen,
I'm going to do the thing. Do you remember the back in the 80s, there was a game company that wanted to license Blade Runner, but they couldn't get the movie right, so they just licensed the soundtrack.
Right.
And they made a new game based on just the soundtrack.
I was not aware of this.
It's not a good game. Good soundtrack, though.
Great soundtrack, in fact.
Thanks, Vangelis. My first thought is, you know, Stephen King's Christine, where the car is evil?
Yeah.
They might have also made this into a film, but this would be specifically the book.
Right.
You play as the car, and you run people over.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah, and it's like an open world Saints Row.
Solid entertainment strategy.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, there's some Driver San Francisco in here, which I really like, of going really gonzo with run people over in a massive open city. Don't get caught.
And if you do get caught, I mean, you're a car. What are they going to do? There's no jail for cars.
They could crunch you in a junkyard.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Or they could put a boot on you and you would be in basically car house arrest.
Oh, man.
What about those jelly beans that taste bad?
The ones that taste bad on purpose or the Jelly Belly buttered popcorn ones?
I want to do the Bean Boozled license.
I like buttered popcorn.
I do like the butter. It takes a couple. You gotta like work your way into that headspace.
You are right. You have to tutorialize the buttered popcorn taste.
Yeah.
I've been on a older sci-fi kick and I've been reading The Island of Dr. Death and Other Stories and Other Stories, that Gene Wolfe collection, and the idea of being a little kid who definitely is seeing stuff that other people are not. This thing being a wider story of Dr. Death and seeing it, seeing these characters intrude on your real life. I think that there is a potent, I think a lot about Labyrinth as well. That's a film, but the idea of there's this entire genre of 80s films for children that are meant to turn them into weird bisexuals when they get older. And
they all worked.
They all worked. And I really think that the fact that the game really hasn't touched on that same sort of magic realist headspace, time bandits leaving you with your melted parents, and that just the movie ends. No resolution. 70s sci-fi is great for tapping into that space. And the fact that we don't have a Jeff Minter licensed Dune game where you're high on spice, but instead we've turned it into a bunch of freaking management sims, it shows the cowardice of video games.
What does Barbarella the video game look like?
I'm trying to remember that. What was that device where like it's like she's strapped into a piano?
Yeah, the piano orgasm enabler.
Right. It would be that, but it's like a Rock Band clone.
There does need to be more stuff that you can do with your Rock Band instruments.
Agreed. They're making new Guitar Hero style guitars now.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool.
Yeah, for Fortnite Festival, which I'm already addicted to.
Is it good?
Fortnite Festival is great, and it has great songs, and it ties into, because of the metaverse ecosystem that Epic has built, I can also just, in the middle of combat, I can take someone down and then start playing the entirety of Smashing Pumpkins, of a Smashing Pumpkins song as they bleed out.
You already play Fortnite then, because like my take on it is that like I miss Rock Band a lot, actually, but... Not enough to install Fortnite. And I'm wondering, can I just skip the rest of the game and just...
You can.
Yeah.
And they have an entire other thread. It is legitimately just a game inside of the game. And I anticipate that based off of their wider strategy, they're just going to stick more games inside of Fortnite. So it's like, oh yeah, is that on Xbox? Is that on PlayStation? They're like, oh, it's on Fortnite.
Oh, what a weird thing. What a weird, weird thing.
I should have bought a Rift Master when I had a chance.
Well, maybe I'll have to try that.
The real horror topic that I want to adapt is convincing Jim to install Fortnite against his wishes.
That would be a horrible thing. That would be horrifying. What's a horrifying animal that we could adapt? What about that lemur that's got the really wide eyes?
They put that in Elden Ring already.
Okay. They beat us to the punch.
They're a little squishy. They're not actually squishy. I just have a stress ball that is one. So I just, in my head, assign them all the property of squishiness.
Right.
They're also not this big. They're like those microorganisms that live in water and have that little head that looks like the end of a comedy roast bone. I'm describing this in like the worst way possible.
You're like, it's this thing on my desk. I have a stress toy of it.
Yeah, it's not currently on my desk, so I can't show you. I don't know where it went. I never remember the name.
It's evocative, though, which shows your talent for narrative.
It's very scary.
I did an image search for the end of a comedy roast bone. Uh-huh. It's not helping.
I would like to pitch the platypus.
Oh.
I learned that they were venomous recently, and it broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the idea of these venomous, adorable platypi.
Yeah.
Being in my house. If I turned around right now and saw a platypus, I would be so scared.
Yeah.
Because it's so cute, and I don't know what to do with the fact that it could kill me so easily.
Don't they, like, use electricity to smell or something?
What?
There is something.
Why would you tell me that?
You're already scared of platypi. I figured.
Yeah, that's why they're plugged into your power socket right now. It's trying to sniff you
out. I'm already scared of platypi. Now they use electricity to smell.
Yeah.
They have predator vision.
Let's see. Platypus use electricity. I kind of want to actually get this fact right. Yeah, platypus electroreception. Yeah, they use it to track their prey.
Prey? They hunt?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Just you.
I'm literally grabbing my own stress ball because I'm
good
dealing with this.
I wouldn't be surprised if we just learned that they hunt like 6 months ago. Like science is finding new things out about the platypus at all constantly.
I do like the idea of we reach the bottom of the ocean. We go into the furthest stretches of space, but some point in 2386, we learn something new about the platypus again. Like the platypus is the only well that never gets exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually all of humanity's scientists have to converge on one point because all other information is known, and that's the platypus. And the more people who observe the platypus, conversely, the harder it is to find materials about the platypus because it's almost like a watch kettle never boils.
Yeah, it's quantum.
We remove the ability to learn more about the platypus from constant observation.
I want to see the patch notes for the platypus.
they got updated with the electric smelling feature.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was in 1.8.
Oh, we should have stayed at 1.7. This is the problem with games that update forever, and I only mean that.
Right, right, yeah.
Semi-sarcastically.
This is why I have my phone to never update apps. It's like, I don't want that feature. You can't roll back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go back to a given version of Fortnite, for example. There's seasons that I really enjoyed, and there is a beauty in the transience, but also it's just regrettable. I can never go back to a previous season of Fortnite. I can never go back to a previous version of a fighting game. They exist eternally, constantly being altered, like the platypus.
Didn't they start adding expansions to classic World of Warcraft?
They sure did.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
It's pretty good.
So classic World of Warcraft is now several years out of step, advancing in real time.
Are we ready for another topic?
Sure.
My topic is, do boomerangs work? Do you guys remember boomerangs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a curved stick that you throw and it's supposed to come back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
That sure is a boomerang.
Did that stop being a thing that people know about?
I'm just, I'm just checking in, just trying to get gauging the temperature of the room here. Like, I've never gotten them to work. Never gotten a boomerang to come back to me. And I know other people have. I trust them. I trust that they do this. But I have no idea that if it's a property of the object, or like, I mean, if you could throw a boomerang in a circle, who's to say you can't throw like a washing machine in a circle. Like,
Jim,
maybe that's a skill you can just develop.
I don't know if you realize this, but this has become a support group for the fact that you've never had a boomerang returned to you and the insecurity you feel over that.
Yeah.
I do think you should bring this to a therapist, but we are here to support you as best we can without professional training.
I appreciate this.
Yeah. How did it make you feel the first time you threw the boomerang and it did not return to you?
It can't lie. It's a disappointment. It didn't work like it did on TV.
Mm-hmm. I've thrown a boomerang as well in real life, and it didn't come back to me, and it made me feel like I was bad. Do you feel like you're bad because the boomerang didn't return to you?
Just a little bit. Just a little inadequate.
We're here for you, bud.
It's not affecting my life in a major way. I've got a good life.
Have you tried keeping a journal of every time you feel that something does not come back to you and that makes you a bad person?
I want to talk
about... I think it might happen throughout the day.
I want to talk about the people who can throw a boomerang. That's what I want to talk about.
Well, you didn't have any of those people on Topic Lords this episode.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've even thrown a boomerang, but I could probably guarantee you that mine would not come back.
You've never even tried. That's even sadder. That's even sadder than my story.
I know.
Better is it to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
That's pithy. Did you write that?
My hated historical enemy, William Shakespeare, did.
Yeah.
I really feel like the objects that you see on TV, when you buy them, this isn't fair to the manufacturers. This is adding cost to them, but I don't care. I feel like this is necessary.
Yeah.
When you buy a thing that you've seen on TV, say a boomerang, and you open it up, it should tell you how to achieve the results you've seen on TV, or have a very large disclaimer that says, hey, moon shoes, they don't work the same way. It isn't going to send you 20 feet into the air.
Yeah.
You're fine. And I know, I realize I'm talking about disclaimers and that's a very boring thing, but I'm also talking about tutorials. I want the boomerang tells you, I read with the little boomerang instructions, like it tells you how to do it, but it doesn't really teach you. I want an Australian man to show up at my home and say, oh, I see that you've ordered a boomerang. So to achieve the results you're looking for.
Boomerang speaks with an Australian man's voice.
Interesting.
See, if that were the thing the wood was shaped to do instead of returning, I think that would make way more sense.
It's like a little mouth.
Yeah, yeah. As the wind whistles through it.
Oh, good time, man.
Saying a full sentence each time. Good time, man. Syllables and everything. That's good.
I mean, we know the tech exists because, like, those dolls where you pull the string and it says a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure those existed before, like, sampling, before digital sampling.
Yeah, actually.
You're right. So we have the technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What we've pivoted to away from emotional vulnerability is when people are throwing a boomerang, what they really want is just the experience of meeting an Australian man. So
yeah,
forget having the thing returned to you. We just want it to say good day, mate.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the actual intended use case is you take the boomerang and you throw it at an Australian man.
And then he talks to you angrily.
Right. Yeah.
Either way, it comes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love like a heart branded boomerang that says, throw this in a crowded location. Whoever brings it back to you, that's the one.
That's your true love. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those heart boomerangs, they don't work the way they do on TV.
A Hinge branded boomerang is possibly the worst thing I can think of.
Oh, like Hinge the dating app.
Yeah. Or a Tinder branded Tinder branded boomerang.
What about a Grindr branded boomerang?
Progressive, but also it's the idea of just like, whoever picked it up, that's your one. Go for it.
You're not going to do better.
It also occurs to me that the natural thing that the boomerang symbology suggests is going back to your ex. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Let's be honest. When you get tired of looking for more people, your ex is right there.
Oh, so a boomerang is a device that always hits your ex.
That's something to also bring to a therapist, right?
He's going to be so annoyed. I'm trying to make a joke about how the boomerang is for old people, and then we got the Gen X-erang.
Well, there's that. There's the one that has the three blades.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's a Gen Y.
Yeah, that's the Millennial Aang.
Right.
The Millennial Aang is Avatar The Last Airbender, I believe.
Yes, he is the Millennial Aang.
Do you think you could just keep adding the... Are they supposed to be like wings? Like, are they shaped like wings?
I feel like there has been a three-pronged boomerang that was supposed to also come back.
I know chakrams are also a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just like infinite blades.
Can you just keep... Well, there you go. I was going to ask, can you just keep adding the blades?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can.
Dark Sector, I was trying to check. Yeah, that is a three-pronged boomerang glaive that you throw.
Ooh, it's called Dark Sector? That's rad.
That's the game that it's in.
Oh, okay.
It was the direct precursor to Warframe.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think if I saw three, I think it's kind of an inverse curve where it's like the more blades you add, the more scared I get until like if I saw a boomerang with four blades, I'd be like, that's scary. Four, five uh-huh. blades. I'm like, that's a bit much. If I saw like something with seven blades, I'd be like, you're kind of compensating for something.
Getting comical. Yeah.
Just make it a chakram. Why have all the additional blades for no reason?
Not all of those blades are going to be well made. Some of them, like, you didn't bother to sharpen them. Like, you're going to get lazy.
Is the blade number how you summon which number X?
Oh, yeah.
I want Stacy. That's five.
Yeah, the 12 bladed boomerang that brings you back to your ex from middle school. That's yeah.
Oh man,
you're gonna get the Stacy tattoo with the five blades, and then you start dating someone else, and Stacy drops the number six, and you get the tattoo fixed.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to see more boomerang manufacturers embrace the innovation that their sector desperately needs. All of these bros are going into crypto. They're going to Web3. They're going into generative AI. Boomerangs are right there waiting to be disrupted, and no one's doing
it. Yeah. We could get the guy who did the Crave Jerky who just had his marshmallow company fail spectacularly.
What's this about?
Yeah, the Smashmallows? Not to be confused with the Squishmallow stuffed animal brand. That's very popular with all my friends who have chronic illnesses.
I've seen those. Like, what was supposed to be special about the Smashmallows?
They were apparently kind of good, and they had different flavors.
But all marshmallows are kind of good.
Yeah, I don't think he was actually disrupting marshmallows in the way that he... They also have a different form factor, being, you know, like little rectangular prisms.
They gentrified marshmallows?
They sharpened the marshmallows, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm seeing about them is that they won a $20 million case recently.
Oh, probably against the Dutch guy who lied to them about being able to produce the marshmallows on their equipment.
Yeah. They won $21 million in defective equipment trial.
Well, that's good. That's good.
That's a good monetization strategy.
Just get somebody to lie to you and sue them?
Yeah. $21 million bucks right there.
Yeah.
You only need to do it once.
It's probably a lot more repeatable than indie games. This is why patent trolls exist.
Yeah. I mean, if you come up with a product that's impossible to produce, then anybody who says that they can produce it is lying to you.
Exactly.
I think we got something here.
So when I walk up and say, I want a seven-bladed boomerang, and someone says they can do that, the next day, I'm filing that lawsuit.
I want a satisfying sequel to Katamari Damacy.
Oh, wow. Sick burn.
I loved We Love Katamari, though.
Oh, it was fine.
Yeah.
I think the soundtrack was less iconic, but otherwise, We Love Katamari is a very, very good game.
How is it not the same thing, but more?
It is the same thing, but more.
So is that not sad? What do you want that's not more Katamari Damacy?
Oh, I mean, okay. My standards are apparently very high. I was also disappointed by Portal 2.
What? Shut the front door.
Wow. These are two of some of the most beloved sequels to games which seemed to defy being sequelized.
They just did a great job. That's all they did. Fuck you.
All they did was the impossible challenge of coming back and doing it again.
No,
they didn't change my life again.
Exactly. That's exactly it. That was like that sounds like a joke the way you put it. But
I kind of get it, though. I do. The more I think about it, I get that just getting the great sequel mm-hmm. or a game that changed your life can still be disappointing, because what you're looking for is to have your life changed again. What yeah. you need is an Australian. What you need is what an Australian, Australian man
to hit you in the head with a boomerang.
With yes, a boomerang. Yeah, it's a hot take, but the you that had your life changed no longer exists.
And here's the thing: every time you get hit in the head, your life changes.
I would completely watch this 80s movie. Do you remember when they went through that phase where they were doing all the body swapping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like that movie where you get hit with a boomerang and you're a completely different person and you have to adapt to that person's.
They have to keep casting new actors for each new scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good.
Weekend at Bernie's, but about someone who keeps experiencing concussions due to an Australian man. And in the process, they realize that, you know, to go on with the 80s TV movie metaphor, they have to spend more time with their kids or something. That seems like a pretty solid direction.
Are they the Bernie or the Weekend?
Interesting. Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, getting slammed in the head by a large-fisted Australian man all weekend does sound like an ordeal.
When did he get a large fist? I guess he has to hold the boomerang.
Yeah, it has to thump you hard enough that you forget the person you were before, right?
That's true. I'm excited to learn more about this Australian man, much like the platypus, as we continue.
This is the new horror franchise.
All right.
It's like how The Conjuring then had Annabelle and The Nun and all these spinoffs. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn about this Australian man at some point. Jim all is right. going to have to tell this Australian man's story.
Jim's going to pull off his mask and be the Australian man.
I just did it on camera. Nobody but you guys can see.
Oh my gosh. Oh no, that's put it back on.
Distressingly sharp jawline. It hurts. Please. My eyes are bleeding.
What do you call that style of facial hair?
Are you ready for the next topic?
Yes.
For this topic, we're going to be reading this poem, Sirius Khand. Who would like to read this poem? Okay, I'll read the poem.
All right.
Sirius Khand by _AD2345. Hi, guys. Call anyone knows how to buy guns and armor India. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole poem. Oh, so this was a post to the Topic Lord subreddit. I think it might be the most upvoted post in the subreddit at 3 upvotes.
Upvote it right now. There we go.
And I don't know what the context for this is. Oh, it looks like they posted the same thing to r/Indian teenagers.
Oh, well, that would make more sense.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I get more worried, though, because I was thinking, hey, maybe this is about a video game. But the idea of just anyone knows how to buy guns and armor India, and they post it and they're like, man, I'm not getting anything that I need from Topic Lords. I think I need to find some Indian delinquents to buy guns and armor from.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they're getting closer, and that is concerning.
So what would you guys say this poem's rhyme scheme is?
I think it's Gregorian chant. Hi, guys. Call anyone knows how to buy guns and armor in India. Amen.
I think the rhyme scheme is A. That's what I think.
Okay.
What are the major themes of this poem?
Guns.
Uh-huh.
Armor.
Okay.
Desire.
Uh-huh. That's a very universal human theme. That's it. I can't think. I think we did the poem.
All right.
I got to do half of a Gregorian chant. So that's good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. No one's done a Gregorian chant on this show before.
Next time I appear, I will, instead of trying to rush it so that I don't prolong the bit, I will just start the show with a Gregorian chant. And anyone who's strong enough to get through the Gregorian chant intro can listen to the rest.
They deserve it. Yeah.
Oh, you weed out the cowards.
Zalavir, your topic is most game mascots are the sexual avatars of their creators.
Alan Moore had interesting thoughts about the psychosexual nature of comic books and their superheroes. And I believe the topic speaks for itself. You look at Crash Bandicoot, mm-hmm, Sonic mm-hmm. the Hedgehog, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jax and Daxter, mm-hmm. Gex. Oh, Gex.
Gex. Enter that gecko, am I right?
Yep, you're right. I mean, look at Glover, right? When you start getting to the when you start getting to the weirder mascot platformers, the lesser known ones, it feels like the reason they didn't sell so well wasn't just necessarily budget or visibility. It is that people felt an essential deviancy, which they could not and would not follow.
Look at Glover and you immediately know Glover's preferred sexual verbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the way Glover stands.
Uh-huh. So what does this topic imply about Lieutenant
Lieutenant what?
Lieutenant Hop. Is that the official name of the Frog Fraction's frog?
Well, his name is Bartholomew Salience.
Right. Yeah. I always just draw a Wang on that little ID card. So I never
He's referred to by a number of different ranks in the games. It doesn't, but none of them are canonical. he was President Hop.
Yeah. Dad. I guess to really figure out the heart of this topic, we have to define what's the difference between just a mascot and a main character. Because Glover is a mascot. Glover's a little freak. Now, the difference between that and a main character that does not mirror the dark sexual Freudian heart of its creators, we have to figure out what is and isn't a mascot. What's the line between mascot and main character?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, one line you could draw is that the franchise has to be named after them. That's probably too restrictive, but I'm thinking of your Sonics, I'm thinking of your Gexes, I'm thinking of your Crashes Bandicoots.
Yeah, I think there's something there, especially like there's Arrow the Acrobat. I was looking at, again, the ones that didn't do so well, and Vex. Vex feels uncomfortably sexual.
Let me Google Vex.
V-E-X-X.
Oh, two X's. Yeah, that's already uncomfortably sexual.
I feel like the mascot has to represent something more than just the game.
Oh. Mm. Does Glover represent more than just the game?
Yeah, it represents this pervy worldview that you've described here.
So Spyro the Dragon is fine because he doesn't represent a greater worldview, but you're saying that Vex or Cool Spot. I do think that Cool Spot is...
Oh, absolutely Cool Spot. Yeah. Are we just... You just kind of like put that out there that Spyro doesn't represent a larger worldview.
I apologize for that. Do you think that... This is partially because this is where we start to get to my sacred cows and say, hey, but not Spyro, though. It couldn't be Spyro. Is Spyro a freak?
Because Spyro's too pure? Now we're getting... Now you're on the therapy couch. What is it about Spyro that you wish for Spyro to remain not a sexual mascot?
According to Wikipedia, Spyro endured in popular culture as a mascot of the PlayStation video game console alongside Crash Bandicoot. This is completely uncited. There's no citations whatsoever in this paragraph.
Wow, amazing.
I do remember both Spyro and Crash being big icons, though. So
yeah.
I guess I was just trying to say, like, well, what does Spyro represent about what greater worldview? He does represent the fantastic. He does have that saucy little eyebrow raise in the main art.
Are there any non-saucy mascots? I mean, there's Mario.
I feel like Mario is pretty non... Like, Mario's like has no emotions at all, basically.
Yeah. Is Mario a sociopath?
Is that what we're finding? You're either horny or a sociopath and there's no middle ground?
The two genders.
You can't be both.
Earthworm Jim, I'm pretty sure, is a sociopath.
Yeah.
I think he's too freaky to be a freak. I think he's trying too hard.
Banjo-Kazooie?
I guess that represents a polycule?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's only two people.
It's only two people, but it's still like them never being physically separated from each other for more than a few. Although you also get that with Yoshi's Island.
Banjo and Kazooie were once seen as a potential mascot for the Xbox 360.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I guess Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts did not sell that well.
Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, the fact that its game design principles are now being pulled into so many different things, I continue to be more affirmed by the gosh dang day for being a Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts enthusiast.
I think it was a very good game.
That's the sequel, right?
That's the one where you build vehicles instead of collecting. Yeah, you're thinking of Banjo-Tooie.
I am thinking of Banjo-Tooie. I never played Nuts and Bolts.
Nuts and Bolts, you were building vehicles to explore and accomplish objectives, and there was some platforming and like jiggy hunting, but a lot of it was through the theme of customization, building iteration, and gradual upgrading by collecting a bunch of things through a series of different fully realized hub worlds that also went through different state changes.
That sounds great. Why did nobody try to sell me this video game?
You can still play it.
Yeah.
A lot of its systems and core verbs got pulled into Tears of the Kingdom. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is so cool. And I'm like, Tears of the Kingdom is building on Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts' grave.
Sir, this is an Arby's.
Oh, shoot. Arby's, I think, cracks the code. Because Arby's... No, I'm not thinking of Arby's. I'm thinking of Hamburger Helper. Hamburger Helper?
Oh, yeah. Hamburger Glover. Is a
demented little sexual demon.
Yeah. Glover's brother.
And if we want to back down from the very statement of saying mascots are sexual avatars, I think if it's a glove or hand-based mascot, that's safe.
Okay.
The hand from Adam's Family.
Thing.
I forget the name.
Thing, right?
Thing one and thing two.
Yeah, I hate to poison memories of mascots, especially mascots that are shown to be punky adolescents. But I feel like there is a primal nature for a mascot. Someone people usually open themselves to a deeper, again, Freudian zeitgeist to attempt to create the perfect protagonist. And when you look at Gex Enter the Gecko, all you can see is a dark reflection of humanity's own horny nature.
There's a lot of furry overlap.
Yeah.
What do you call the people who dress up as hands?
Handies?
Yeah, I think that might be the only possible name.
And I think furries are very cool people. I've met so many good and powerful furries.
Oh, yeah. No, just...
Yeah. No shade on furries.
Nobody here is bad-mouthing furries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is why I'm bringing it up to distinguish between
handies.
There are furries, and then there's the freak who was part of like the alt club scene and said, "I have an idea." The character's name is Vex, and they are the dark gauntleted Avenger of Justice, searching for the Wraith Hearts.
You keep mentioning Vex. Is this like Gex's like evil twin?
Vex just stuck with me as every time I saw it, I indulge in emulation because so much of our medium is inaccessible without it, and I want to learn from more things. And Vex is one I just never download. I keep looking at it and I go like, I don't know if I want to play that. What's Vex's deal is a question I always ask.
This is a video game.
Uh-huh.
A video game.
It's a video game. It's a mascot.
Two X's.
Uh-huh.
It was Xbox mascots were always trying to put X's in their names, like Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Yeah, which I just played recently, by the way, because I'd always been curious about it.
Is it good?
No, it's terrible. Don't bother.
Blinks does look more appealing as a mascot than Gex does. Gex does.
Did you know that there was a Blinks 2?
No.
Blinks 2, Masters of Time and Space. They aged up Blinks. They tried to make, for Blinks 2, it looks like they tried to make him edgier.
Wow.
He's posing alongside a tattooed angry pig on the cover.
Yeah.
He looks like he's dressed up as the lead singer from Power Man 5000.
Despite being the game titled after the character of Blinks, Blinks is not playable in this game and is only present during cutscenes.
What? They Blade Runnered him.
Is Blade Runner not playable in the sequel?
Yeah, I don't think you can play as Blade Runner.
He is replaced with two teams of four customizable characters, with a team for the Time Sweepers and a team for the Tom Toms.
What you gonna do when you get out of jail?
Time Sweeper levels. The Tom Toms control like a stealth game. What the hell was Blinks 2?
I don't know, man. There's a big crystal.
Here's the thing, Jim. You gotta promise me that a future Topics Lord crew will come to Blinks 2 and figure out what its deal is, because we don't have the time here, but we need like a solid 45 minutes to try to find out. You're thinking
like, instead of doing a poem,
we just play Blinks 2?
Every episode, we just play Blinks 2 and talk about it?
That's going to go over better than the slow music videos.
I bet it would. Yeah, listeners should love it. Yeah, this is exactly the sort of thing that I want to commit to sight unseen.
Yeah.
find a way to emulate Blinks 2. I'm sure that that was a priority of the Xbox emulation community, was to find a way to make Blinks 2 properly emulatable on PCs as soon as possible.
I think Chris might have an OG Xbox.
Yeah, it's not on the backwards compatible list for the new Xboxes.
No.
But it is for the original Xbox 360.
Oh, okay. That's not so hard to come by.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for a physical copy of Blinks 2 and pretend that's totally something that someone's going to buy. You can get it for $29.89.
Wow. Okay.
What a steal.
You can get it for $25.
Xbox emulation has to be pretty good by now.
It probably is.
Disc only, it's $19.99.
Yeah. No, I definitely want the manual.
$61.
Let me tell you something. My white whale for when I make a game that really sells well is 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Yeah.
It's now backwards compatible. As soon as it was backwards compatible, a bunch of the listings, like, it's at $338, it's at $99.98. Scalpers have made 50 Cent Blood on the Sand impossible to get.
I've got that. I could just send you the disc. Are you going to be at GDC?
I will be at GDC. Are you going to make my dreams come true, Jim?
I would give this game up. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You could talk about it next time you're on the show.
Jim? Are you joking?
No, I'm not. I'm not joking. Although now that I say it, I don't actually know where the disc is, but I've got it. I'm pretty sure it's in the binder that's under the TV. I'll go look after the show. I'll let you know.
Jim, I can't express it. No worries if it doesn't happen.
Okay.
But I will be at GDC.
Yeah.
And I will knock off any business meeting necessary to run and embrace you and say, you are empowering what has now been a nearly decades long search to get my hands on this video game.
So, all right. I want you to, after the show, after the handoff, I want you to rank the three things I've given you at GDC, which is the Glitterman Grove boxed copy.
I never got a boxed copy of Glitterman and Grove.
Yeah, do you still have those?
I do. I've got so many of them.
Cool.
Okay, in that case, I'll bring that too.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
The Topic Lords trophy for being on Topic Lords.
I do have that. That is still at a place.
Jenny, there's one with your name on it, and you've just never come to GDC to collect it.
I know. It's just
the people that I did not expect to meet again soon. I had it shipped directly to them. And then the people that I was like, oh yeah, I'll see them soon. I had it shipped to me so I could hand it to them. But you were on the latter list and just haven't met again.
Yeah. It's only like a 12-hour drive to
How much do you want that golden microphone?
I do kind of want that.
It looks really good.
Yeah, I'll figure this out.
Are we ready for another topic?
Sure.
Do you need to take a break? Do you need to take a breath to calm down?
Yeah, we just recently learned you can take breaks during podcasts.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, right?
Isn't that cheating?
I mean, I guess. I've never done it. I mean, I never did it even when I was on a 3-hour podcast.
Right?
It feels partially like there's a crucible of the soul that you go through on a podcast that audiences get an insight into. So I respect, and I think breaks and accessibility and needless valorization of suffering is not necessary. But when the suffering is funny,
right?
You know,
then you got something special.
So my topic is the Ted Dabney Experience. The Ted Dabney Experience is a podcast that I heard about, and I was like, oh, cool. This is like hosted by Atari co-founder Ted Dabney, right? Oh. And I started listening to it. And it turns out Ted Dabney died like 12 years ago.
Wait, what?
And they just named the show after him. But it is about like the sort of things that Ted Dabney would have talked about and the people he would have talked to. So it would
See, that's what I want for my legacy. I don't want to have to make things. I just want people in the future to decide what I would have talked about on a podcast and make that podcast.
Right. It would be like if there was a show called The Steve Jobs Experience.
Yeah.
And it was about like parking in the handicapped spot and then yelling at your underlings and throwing their prototype in the fish tank.
Man.
I mean, you could extend this to games. It would be pretty cool if I knew that upon my demise, at least one group of people would make a game called the Zolivir Nelson Jr. Experience and would just make a game that I planned to make at some point, but just never got around to.
Oh, yeah. And I think about this constantly. I definitely should have died during the development of Frog Fractions 2.
I mean, I'm glad that you didn't, but also, yeah, that would have been...
It would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would have cemented my legacy forever.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to put in your will is finish my game. And yeah. Putting... people in your will by name saying, hey, and you make a dream list. People who you couldn't normally hire for your game team or like contract to do a thing, you put them in that thing and name them and they're friends and they're like, oh shoot, well, I
Albert
can't.
Albert Einstein, Genghis Khan.
Yeah. It's like that one other category of 80s movie where somebody gets like $1 million from their rich uncle back when that was a lot of money, but they have to do something weird to let the moviegoers watch that.
Was it Brewster's Millions?
I think that was one.
Oh, yeah. That was a genre. Yeah. You're right.
This was the whole genre. Yeah.
You lock them in a house, a haunted house, and they can't leave until they finish your video game.
The ghost of Albert Einstein locked in a house.
Locked in a house.
With the ghost of Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And they vote each other off just back and forth forever.
I'm talking about the more dark experience, though, as well of... It's a friend. And you know they're a busy friend. They wouldn't normally work on your game and finish it to completion.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if I die, you gotta finish it. And then they're like, oh, I'm so guilty. It's a shame I never could have worked on this with them during life, but I gotta do it now. And or I gotta finish it now.
I'm gonna pick a list of my friends who are not game developers. And they're gonna have to learn from first principles.
You gotta learn how to... Yeah, that's good. And then they can get a job. I did them a favor. They can get a job as a game developer. The field
the
that everybody's always trying to get into.
Yeah, a deeply safe field for job hunting.
So the Ted Dabney Experience.
It's a pretty good show. Like, I mean, it's interviewing like figures from back then. I really wanted to talk more about the experience that the Ted Dabney Experience of discovering that Ted Dabney was dead.
Yeah. Is there any like precedent for this that you can think of?
Naming a piece of media after somebody who is dead in such a way that it sounds like that person is going to be in that media.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it has to be someone who like you might not know is dead.
Yeah. I think the idea of a piece of media, a game, a podcast, a movie, what have you, that is naming itself such that you think that there was a participatory element, but there wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I think that that's key to getting a Ted Dabney experience like thing.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I think there's an adjacent design space here. It's not the exact same thing, but the thing that makes me think of is Bubsy 3D, Bubsy Visits the James Turrell Retrospective.
Yeah.
Which for the longest time, I thought was made by the... like museum that owned the James Turrell Retrospective. Like it commissioned some weird indies to do a cool thing.
Right.
No, it was just the Arcane Kids going off.
Yeah, no. I think that's a good example. So there's a Topic Lords episode called Good Ideas for Sam Barlow. Sam Barlow is not on the show. I don't think that quite fits the bill, but I feel like there's got to be one in the history of the show that where like, what about Jeff Bezos's butthole guy? Jeff Bezos' butthole guy is not on the show.
Yeah.
But we talk about him.
We sure do talk about him.
I feel this way sometimes about spinoffs to long-running TV shows.
Oh, like Mrs. Columbo.
Mrs. Columbo.
Where you assume Columbo is going, that's a TV show they made.
Okay, but Mrs. Columbo is on the
show. Presumably about Columbo's wife. Columbo never shows up.
But is Mrs. Columbo there?
Yes. I mean, it's not the same thing, but it is a weird promise that they make that they never deliver on.
But I was like, my heart was pounding. I thought you were saying Mrs. Columbo is not in this show.
That would be incredible. No, I'm lying on Topic Lords. I was told that was allowed.
Like, so for example, Law and Order. It has so many spinoffs.
Order.
It has Law and Order. And the idea of, again, I'll expose myself. I saw an episode of Law & Order because I wanted to see Ice-T and I had heard about how off the rails it gets. Turns out that's Law & Order SVU, Special Victims Unit.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And the idea of like these sagas, CSI is one of them. The Rookie has now become one of them. Just spinoffs upon spinoffs upon spinoffs. in this weird incestuous chain, I think that there is a needed discussion point in all of this of, hey, I came into the show expecting to see Ted Danson. Where's Ted Danson?
Cheers too.
There's a Topic Lords episode called This Movie Has Marky Mark in It, which would be amazing if it were the title of a movie.
Yeah, that did not have Marky Mark in it.
Right.
Yeah. Man, yeah, we could go make that movie right now.
We could. It wouldn't take long.
Yeah, we don't need to get Marky Mark. That's right.
Nope.
We're done.
Yeah, no, done. Yeah, I could just, if I have some JPEGs on my hard drive, I'll just tell FFmpeg to turn them into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, I really like the idea of embracing absence. This is something I've been thinking about off topic of these days. There, when this, something is not in the game, when your first person shooter does not have a battle royale mode, it's talked about as a lack rather than as why did they leave this out? If all of the modes are team deathmatch and there's no one-on-one fighting, what does that mean? I think we can and should be asking these questions. And so building a subgenre of games, movies, albums that purport to have Beyonce, that purports to have a Bubsy 3D recreation, the Max Payne remake, never including Max Payne.
Right. Like the song that has featuring Beyonce as the part of the title of the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Pitch Beyonce Battle Royale. There's no Beyonce and there's no Battle Royale.
The
what's there?
It's it's a clicker.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
It's like a candy box, so there's always the promise that there could be Beyonce and or Battle Royale.
Occasionally it does the Smash Brothers, like, a new challenger is entering, and you see Beyonce pose, and you see like the silhouette of a pose, and then it goes and it never resolves.
It's just Bubsy introduced with new integers.
I've seen this joke before of, it's like, who's that Pokemon? And it's a Pokemon contorted to look like the silhouette of another one.
Nice. Yeah, it's just all Mudkips.
All Mudkips.
Beyonce, oops, all Mudkips.
And that's all the time we have for Topic Lords. Jenny, if this is something that you want, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I listened to other episodes I was on.
Yeah. You're
probably still there. I don't know. I don't care.
nor should you.
Yeah,
I, people who listen to this show, chopped liver.
Well, I didn't mean to imply that.
That's okay. It's, I said it, not you.
I got tired of feeling like my job in life was to produce content for unnamed people.
Oh yeah, no, it's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dalavir, if this is something that you want, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me in the critically acclaimed but Oscar snubbed film Blackberry, which I'm not actually in there, but it's okay to lie on Topics Lords, and I think everyone should see Blackberry. Okay. It is one of the best films ever made. It out Social Network's a Social Network and delivering the biopic in a very smart way. It's made by the people who did Nirvana, the band, the show. They turned their eyes towards a serious biopic and did something incredible. Outside of Blackberry, where you can definitely see me, so you should watch it right now. You can find me at Rit Nelson on most social media platforms, WRIT Nelson. And again, you can find Life Eater on Steam. Wishlist it, support the resurrection of the kidnapping sim genre.
I support it. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, this is Jim. This is the audio I append to every episode of Topic Lords. Congratulations to our newly anointed lords. This episode was edited by Esper Quinn, who can also edit your episode if you contact them on Twitter. If you'd like more people to hear the show, you can tell your friends about it, or rate and review us on whatever podcast service you use. You can add content to the Topic Bucket by emailing topicbucket@topiclords.com, and you can contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/topiclords. Patrons get episodes a week early, and you get access to the Topic Lords Discord, where you can discuss topics with all the lords that hang out in there. See you next episode.